He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here live on a Tuesday, February 3rd from Radio Row, home of the big game in San Francisco on 1430. Super Bowl 60 on its way and ready to roll. We have a great show for you today. Hour and a half on the airwaves for you today before we get you set for the Pro Bowl. Should be a lot of fun. A lot of guests coming up on the guest list today. We'll get right to it in terms of that, of course. Big shout out to all of our sponsors who have allowed us to be here at Radio Row, of course. Shout out to our friends over at Central Valley Sports, Stitch and Ink. You're going to see some of the shirts that they provided to us that we're going to wear throughout the week, so be sure to check them out on our live stream on 1430 ESPN Fresno account on YouTube where we're streaming right now. Big shout out to helping us out, David, over at Central Valley Sports Stitch and Ink. One-stop shop for spirit wear, fundraiser, team uniforms, staff apparel, and even sports equipment. Plus, they create custom online stores for your team or business, too. Visit MyCentralValleySports.com, MyCentralValleySports.com. Also, shout out to a sponsor who got us on here as well, including Horn Barbecue, just opening up their location over at Granite Park on Cedar and Ashland, between Ashland and Dakota. Be sure to check them out. Wonderful barbecue spot to just open up. Bay Area native here coming in and bringing his expertise. Also, Toledo's, by the way, offering a 10 for $10 menu right now using the promo code ESPN. That's right. And you receive $5 off your order. That's a promo code ESPN on a 10 for $10 menu right now. Use that promo code at your select Toledo's restaurants. So shout out to them. Of course, shout out Fashion Furniture, FFB Bank, Helena Agri, just to name a few who are on the list here as well. Did I mention Fashion Furniture? I just want to make sure I get all the lists here in terms of that. But good to have everyone here live on 1430 ESPN from San Francisco. Decent Duker as well. Shout out to them. Chancy Gold Resort and Casino. Shout out them as well. All right. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing sponsoring that. The temperature and degrees here in San Francisco, 65 degrees, not too bad. Feels a little warmer than usual for us here, 65 the high. Of course, out in Fresno, what are y'all dealing with? I'm sure you're dealing with some decent weather as well, right? It's not too bad out there in the Central Valley. Checking in at 62 degrees and sunny. Could be seeing 71 by Thursday, getting a little warmer as we're ticking into the February month here as well. So should be not too bad. Like I said, check us out on our socials. We posted a great video last night, including Super Bowl opening night. You want to check that out. We talked to some players, including Fresno's own Torrey Horton last night. Got a chance to catch up with him and his career, his accomplishments, his season so far. Of course, he's dealing with the rehab of the shin, but he was excited to be there. Of course, we asked him some California-centric questions as well, since he is from this wonderful state where the Super Bowl will be held. So if you want to check that out, go to our social medias. ESPN Fresno is where you find it. What do we got on the docket today for our show? Stevie Johnson going to join me in a little bit here, right after this this segment here. We're going to bring on former Bills receiver Stevie Johnson, former Niner. And he had a really good perspective on what he's been doing for a lot of the rookies in the NFL. We're also going to have Diana Hosfeld and Jessica Harper from the Tragedy Assistant Program for Survivors. Should be a really good conversation with them is what they're doing and the good work there. And then later, we're bringing the juice. That's right. Frank Delaney going to join me as well. So we got a lot to talk about here in terms of that. So we're going to get right to it. Should be a lot of fun. And so I'm going to take a quick break right here. And when we come back, we're going to have my interview with Stevie Johnson, former NFL wide receiver. Don't go anywhere, live at Radio Row here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
All right, here with our guest for today on our Tuesday show, Stevie Johnson with me now here live from Radio Row. Stevie, good to have you here, man.
It's
good to be talking to you. Yeah. A guy local here, that's got to be exciting, right?
Very.
With the Super Bowl in town. But how are you doing, man, on this Tuesday?
I'm good, P. I'm good, man. It's the energy is great. You know, the city is looking nice and full of activities. From here to San Jose, you know, I know that we're here in San Francisco, but, you know, shout out to the San Jose host committee. You know, they're doing a lot for the community and making sure everybody's having fun, whether you're a football fan or not. So it's cool.
Exactly. And I know you're here a couple good things here that you're going to be building. First off, you know, I want to just talk about what you're doing for a lot of the young guys coming into the league, right? Because getting in the league is scary. You experienced it back, what, 2009 was that? Yeah. So you knew it was like wide-eyed, everything was going on. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing for some of the young players in the NFL.
Yeah, brother, I'm glad that you asked that. And let's going back to that time when I came in as a rookie. Like, you definitely wide-eyed, you don't know what's going on, so you're just trying to go hard and be the best that you can be. However, it's a whole world out there. There's a whole ecosystem out there that you can still take advantage of on and off the field, and I mean community-wise.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I ended up learning later on in my career. So I ended up establishing a program called Exposure Academy, which is a symposium-style teaching, you know, on and off the field for players. And what we do is we teach them how to take care of themselves, whether it's cooking, cleaning, learning how to communicate with each other. And then obviously on the field, there's the skill building is what we get the attention for. But it's so much more in this game. And I realized that as a player, a lot of guys don't have maybe a partner. Like my wife, she was helpful for me, you know. It took me to understand that partner got me to in positions that was beneficial for me, you know. And then I was drafted. I was in the seventh round, but the NFL does something called a rookie symposium.
Yeah.
But all of the rookies don't get this opportunity, you know, only drafted guys.
Yeah.
So I ended up starting our Exposure Academy to help those incoming rookies to connect with us and be prepared for the NFL and what's to come.
And in terms of what you're talking about, just getting immersed in it, right? And especially you mentioned the community aspect of it, because how key is it for guys to kind of just get ingrained in the community as quickly as they can, where they're going to be playing? Because, you know, they got obviously adapt to where they're going to be and where they hope to play their career, at least at the start, right? So how important is that when it comes to that?
It's very important in a sense of everybody's not going to be that first round draft pick.
Yeah.
So with that being said, if you're not a first round draft pick, that means you're not going to get a lot of the opportunities that guys get to be comfortable in your skin as a player on that particular team. So me being a seventh round draft pick, I didn't get those opportunities, but what kept my mind calm was being in the community, you know, connecting with my community partners like the YMCA, Boys and Girls Clubs, initiating these exposure academies, because it gave me something else to do as opposed to just focusing on football per se.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, it's tricky because you're supposed to focus on football. You're a football player, but it's a whole nother world in there. You know, it's a lot goes on. So you got to keep your sanity straight. You feel me? So yeah, it's good to be connected in the community.
And you said seventh round pick, right, for you. And you're going all the way across the country, like guys like you that are kind of just be thrown into it, right? You know, go back to your experience real quick for me, just about how you adapted. And of course, you broke in and you made an ability to get into that roster and then become kind of a guy there in Buffalo for a bit. So tell me a little bit about just kind of the things you take from that experience and know what to apply to the other guys you talk to.
Yeah, I'll say communication. You know, we teach communication in Exposure Academy, and that was one of the biggest things that I had to learn how to do when I got to college and the NFL. I was one of those guys where I started off in high school, just put me on the field and you'll see plays being made. So you don't really have to talk about things. Coaches will see it, they go play you. So it was kind of like that from Pop Warner to high school. Then once I got to junior college, it was kind of like that. They got me on it because I did what I did and showed. But when I got to to Kentucky, I was showing things on field, but I wasn't getting in the game until I had a teammate named Dickie Lyons.
Okay.
And Dickie Lyons told me, hey, you gotta learn to communicate, Stevie. You gotta go tell the coaches, go in there and talk to the coaches. And I was like, nah, I don't really talk to coaches. I ain't really comfortable with all that. I just let my work do the talking for me.
Right.
He like, well, that's not working for us right now because you're not playing, obviously. But that was the switch. I went up there and talked to Coach Brooks and Joker Phillips. And from there, I never came out of the game. Now I'm here sitting with you, Pete. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I say communication is the biggest thing. So when I get these guys, a lot of these guys are coming into the league, and they're like how I was. Hey, I'm just going to let my play do the work. But it's more than that. It's more than that in this NFL. You got to be able to communicate, be comfortable around a facility. It's more than ball.
Because I want the communication aspect. Some guys may see it as like, well, I sound like I'm confused about what's going on. I'm not like getting it. And I think that you fear that, like, if you try to talk to the coaches a lot, he's just a guy who's just asking a lot of questions, right? But on the flip side, like, the coaches probably respect that a little bit more because at least you're going after that and attacking the information.
Absolutely.
Is that kind of how you?
Absolutely, because I was confused. Like, why isn't Joker playing me? Like, I'm out here killing these people at practice. One-on-ones, I'm done. They know what I do. However, I had to go tell Joker, like, Joker, I'm ready, coach. And then he was like, okay, I'll give you a chance.
Yeah.
And that was all it took. You know, so if I never would have communicated that, I probably never would have played in Kentucky. So communication is huge for me.
Good for any young player who's listening too, right? Yeah. Not just the guys at the pros, guys trying to crack into college. You know, it's a great lesson to learn.
Hey, to build off of that, we do it also with our high school guys. So we do pros, incoming pros, first, second year guys, college, and we also do high school symposium. So yeah, I try to knock down each tier for everyone. Yeah,
I tell you what, we got some good high schoolers in Fresno area. Some good wide receivers, especially coming out. Names coming out of Xavier Worthy, who just cracked into the league. He's a guy we got from Central Valley. Yeah,
I didn't know that. So, I didn't even know that. Wow,
that's just one name to kind of. Torrey Horton on the Seahawks, he's injured, but he's in the Super Bowl from Washington Union out of Fresno. So
yeah,
wide receiver, a little hotbed down there in Fresno.
Indeed. With the main guy, Adams.
Yeah. And Devontae, Devontae was great. I went to college when he was there. It was great to watch him when I was a student. But tell me a little bit about just your experience in the league, right? Because everyone probably goes into the league and has this idea of what you want to accomplish, what happens. Things change, you have to adapt. You know, what is your mindset? Like, how did you kind of navigate the league and keep things in perspective when you were going through it in your career?
Yeah, good question. We touched on this a little bit also. Like, I had a wife. I had a family when I got into the league. So that kind of kept me focused on just going to practice and doing what I need to do. I kind of got sidetracked when I was saying, hey, like, why am I not playing, et cetera, et cetera. What up, though, KM? Like, why am I not playing? However, it's a business, you know? I'm a seventh round draft pick. They got to play the first, second round guy first. I didn't understand politics like that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was attached, like I said, community and my family that kept me focused and just going to practice and loving it. But for those guys that don't have that, I would say you gotta understand loving this game. You just gotta love the game. You know, it's not gonna be fair for you, it's not gonna be perfect. But if you love the game, you get up and go to practice and just have fun every day, and that'll get you through things. So that's one thing I ended up another thing I ended up learning, just fall in love with the game. I was battling. Like, why am I not playing? I'm talking to other vets. Like, look, I'm doing this, this, and that. And he was like, hey, it's not about that. Just enjoy coming to practice. And, again, that was another switch that hit on me.
Well, you look like you love the game, too. I remember one celebration. You had the shirt. Like, isn't that the Joker underneath, you were doing touchdown sellies?
Why so serious?
Yeah, right.
I mean, and that was me just trying to show the outside world. Because at that time, it was literally no fun league.
Right.
So I'm getting in trouble for everything that I was doing. But I always had on my mind, when I get to the league, I'm going to show that I'm having fun so that the other kids that's coming in can have fun also, you know. And I wasn't doing nothing disrespectful or nothing. Yeah. It was just having fun. But, I took some chances. I got in trouble. But I guess it paid off a little bit.
You got an opportunity to play
here at home for a year, right, in San Francisco. I know the year didn't go the way, obviously, right, you wanted with the team-wise, but do you look back and say, wow, I'm happy I kind of played in front? I'm assuming you grew up a Niner fan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, indeed.
So you were like, wow, I get to play with my home team. Was there any kind of, like, excitement about that, and what was it like to kind of just come back home and have everybody around?
Yeah, it was mixed. It was mixed emotions because I'm definitely a 49er through and through. That was my day one team. When I got there, we went 8-8 and unfortunately didn't make it to the playoffs. So it was frustrating.
Yeah.
It was a mix of emotions. You know, I'm playing with my home team. I got to score a touchdown in the Niners at home. The fam got to see it, and. But ultimately, it's the Lombardi. Like, right, we're here for the Super Bowl. And so it was just mixed emotions. It was fun, but I didn't accomplish the goal that I really wanted to.
I want to ask about a Fresno guy who plays for Buffalo, Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
How would the Stevie Johnson-Josh Allen tandem go if you guys got to play with each other on the same offense?
Easy, like 1, 2, 3. You know, I felt like I couldn't be covered. I feel like what I can provide for quarterbacks is a sense of comfort. Easy button, basically. And that comes from understanding film, loving the game, you know, learning defenses, learning all the defenses. Not only knowing your position, I know everybody's position, which helps a playmaker be able to find soft spots for the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then you add a quarterback like Josh Allen who can get the ball anywhere in his arm strength. I mean, I just feel like it would have been a perfect match. Also, because Fitzpatrick was similar to Josh as far as he can get ball out. However, in this day and age, they let the ball go at a faster clip than back
then. He fires it, man.
Yeah, so I would have loved to play in this day and age.
He's got to get one, though, right? He's going to get one, right?
It'll happen. They're still building. I feel like, you know, if it's not this year, this upcoming season that they'll be in the Super Bowl, I feel like next season, as they're more comfortable with their new coach, their new staff, and Josh will, I feel like Josh will take that step to become the game manager that he needs to be, as opposed to just the electrifying player that he is right now.
Well, I wanted to get this in too, because I heard you're going to have an awesome event coming up as well, involving a golf charity event, right? Tell me a little bit about that coming up soon here.
Yeah, so I wasn't really into golf at all, but big shout out to all my fam and partners in Buffalo. They got me out there on all those courses, so that's what somewhat sparked this one here. And then when I got to the 49ers, I had partnership with Ms. Jacqueline from Compass Real Estate Sports Entertainment.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of people that asked about golf, so here we are. We're presenting our golf at Green Hills Golf Club, and it's going towards the community. We do backpack giveaways, back to school, getting hygiene products. Everything goes back into the community, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're blessed, so why not bless others? And we made this golf activation, and yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's the day after the Super Bowl.
There you go.
And everything's on my social media, Stevie Johnson 13. So all the links and stuff is there.
How'd you get into golf? Did you scoff at it at first with your teammates, and then suddenly you tried it? Like, how did it go?
It's funny. I did not like it at all, because I was like, there's no highlights in golf. I'm here with you guys, like, where's the highlights? I'm recording and trying to get stuff, but like, we're missing everything. But then it's like, that's what it is, the challenge of it, you know? So it actually started at the simulators. I had some friends in Buffalo, because it gets snow out there, it gets cold, so you can't really golf all the time.
Yeah.
So it started with the simulators, and then we just ended up going to fields gradually. I started hitting a few golf carts here and there, got a little bit better, but it's the fun games to be out there with the guys.
It's good to be out here, especially in the California weather. I heard everybody saying, it's so hot here. I'm like, we're California. This is what it is all the time,
all
man.
The
it's
time.
Great. Out here, it's snowing all over. We're fine here, man. It's great.
Right.
Quick prediction on the game. We see the guys up here.
Yeah.
Who you got? Patriots or Seahawks?
Let's talk about it. Okay, so Seattle is probably the most balanced team right now, especially when you can protect Darnold. They got JSN, the number one statistical receiver in the league. You have Cooper Kupp on the other side, who's a former Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
You know, and then you got Rashid Shaheed, who's an X-factor who can flip the field in a snap of a finger. The defense is cool. Kenneth Walker, he's great. Sad that Charbonnet got injured. But I'm going to say Diggs is going to be the X factor. Diggs will be the X factor. It'll be late game situation, and May will have to find Diggs. and Diggs will make the play, and they will beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Wow, all right, we got a Patriots
prediction.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go Patriots, and it's rare, you know, I'm a Buffalo Bill.
I know.
You know, I'm a Buffalo Bill, but I think I'm a rock with Diggs, you know. It's been a lot of adversity through that team and with him on and off the field, but he's here for a reason, you know. So let's see them complete it.
Well, we got a lot of Niner fan listeners, so I'm sure they're happy to see you say the Seahawks are not gonna win a Super Bowl in their stadium.
Not in the
they
stadium.
They don't want to see that at all.
That'd be crazy if the Seahawks came here and got us out the playoffs, dominated us in the last game of the season, and then won a Super Bowl at our crib.
No.
Nah, we can't have that happen. Nah, come on, Patriots. Come on, Patriots.
Well, Stevie, I appreciate you taking the time as always, man.
Love.
Have a great rest of your week.
Love.
Best of luck on your endeavors.
Thank you.
It's been great to meet you, and best of luck.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to locking in with you and coming to the Valley and working with some of those
Absolutely, we're there. Yeah. Invite's open, man.
Love.
All right, Stevie Johnson. We're right here on 1430.
Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Stevie Johnson for joining us in the last segment. And now we're joined here live with a couple members of the TAPS program, Diana Hosford and Jessica Harper, joining me all the way from, D.C. area? Is that what I heard?
Yes, sir.
Welcome in. Long trek, I know, but it's good to have you both on the show. How are we doing on this Tuesday?
Great. Happy to be here. California sunshine, Super Bowl week. Couldn't be better.
Certainly.
It's been an amazing experience walking around Super Bowl experience in Media Row. All the energy, and excited to have a chance to talk to you guys about what we do.
Exactly. And you all have been kind of settling in for the last few days. You were telling me right before we went on air that you've been in town since about, Friday you said last week. And you both are, of course, members of the national nonprofit organization TAPS, which stands for Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. So no better people to explain what you work for than you. So explain to the people at home who are listening what TAPS is.
TAPS is a national nonprofit in the United States that cares for the families of fallen military service members. We started in 1994 in peacetime, and we care for families, really anyone who has lost a loved one, military loved one, or veteran, regardless of the cause of death and regardless of the relation to the deceased. And it's been an incredible program to work on, because we're able to really have impact with the families directly.
Yeah.
It's so personal, right? That this is somebody who's not there to teach their son how to play football, walk their daughter down the aisle, those kinds of things. So we create these beautiful opportunities and these moments for families through sport to celebrate their life in service, of the life in service of their loved one.
And you both have been into this program. How long have you been a part of this for both of you? When did you get introduced to this program yourselves?
So mine's a little different. My sister lost her fiance, Staff Sergeant Michael Hollander, in 2007. And I had a good friend who knew about TAPS and introduced my family to TAPS. So we started coming to events in 2008, but I didn't join the organization and work for them until 2013. That's about when Diana joined and kind of had this amazing concept for, you know, that TAPS does a lot of, as she said, work in the community. We have good grief camps for kids. We have national seminars. We have retreats, different programming. But there was not really a sports component, and there wasn't necessarily an honor and remember component. Most of our events focused around survivors. What we do a little differently in sports and entertainment is do things in honor of people's loved ones. So, you know, if you're a big fan of, let's say, the San Francisco 49ers, right?
Yeah.
And you have these amazing memories of going with your dad, and your dad, you know, is no longer there to take you to a game, or maybe you never got the chance. We can't bring, you know, your loved one back, but what we can do is work with the team to create a special experience in honor of your fallen hero, you know, in honor of your loved one. So when you go to a game, right, and your dad is maybe honored, you know, his life and service with his favorite team, and it's then a memory you have. It's that connection, you know, it's that childhood memory. You know, and it's also sometimes a gateway to a lot of the grief work we do at TAPS. It's not always the most fun to sit there and think about, you know, talking about your grief or, you know, being sad. But a lot of times, you know, if you were able to go and meet other people who are in the same situation that you are, another surviving dad, another surviving kid, you realize you have a lot in common and you start talking. And that's kind of the magic of that peer-based emotional support that TAPS creates.
And Danny, you know, just thinking about the whole idea of it, a lot of grief is hard for a lot of people. Grief's a lot of hard, like you mentioned, for kids who deal with it, right? And just how you know, it how you handle that and how they handle that through this program, you know, just what are some of the incredible things this program can do for the kids? Like, because it's so hard to talk about this kind of stuff, right, for people who go through these situations.
You are absolutely right. It is so hard. But what TAPS does for families, it gives them a safe space. It gives children other kids. You know, they might be the only kid in their school whose dad died by suicide, or they lost a sibling, right, to illness after military service. Or a killed in action loss. So when they come to TAPS, there's an immediate community of people just like them, mm-hmm. who they can connect with and share with and bond with. And so it happens with our kids, it happens with our young adults, and obviously our adult program as well. But those people who get it, you know, they start the book on, you know, chapter 9, right? It's like, we understand why we're there. We're there because we love someone who served and died. So that connection is great, and it allows them to just feel more free to share and then have fun and laugh again. And that's what the sports program really does. You know, it gives people an opportunity to smile, right? There's no Teams for TAPS event that we do where there aren't tears at some point because their loved one's not there. But then there's like initials on the back of their dad's favorite player's helmet, right? Or they're standing on the, you know, on the sidelines for the national anthem with their hand over their heart and honor their loved one, right? So there's those moments. But yeah, we do the hard stuff.
And in terms of the partnership with the NFL and the teams, you know, how did it become a partnership in that way, and knowing, you know, that this was an avenue for a lot of people to be able to, you know, go through the grief that they go through, but also to, you know, I don't know how to best describe it. There's a term for it, you know, but just, you know, trying to get through a situation like that in any which way. But when did that partnership begin with the NFL in that sense, and how it's really grown? I see, you know, you with the NFL drafts now becoming an event, the Pro Bowl events, you know, obviously a family's here for the Super Bowl, right? So how did that partnership grow through that?
So the sports program started in 2013. Yeah. Our first team was the Commanders. Our first city was really Washington, D.C. We wanted all the teams in one city. So then we started working with other NFL teams in other cities, and we started working with the clubs, and then we started talking to the league. And then one meeting, Jess and I are up in New York, and the league said, so if we fund programming, we'd like to be part of the healing.
Yeah.
We love seeing the family at the events, enjoying it, celebrating their heroes, but we want to be part of the healing. So then we were able to create, with like the machine of the NFL, incredible programming that not only supported the incredible, incredibly joyful moments, but, you know, some of that really important grief programming that the NFL supports. And so we've been Salute to Service partners for like a decade, and it's been amazing.
Jessica, I noticed there's a button you're wearing, and I think just describe what you're kind of wearing there. For the people who are at home, what are you wearing?
We talk about honoring our loved ones. We always want them with us. So as I said, this is my sister's fiancé, Staff Sergeant Michael Hollander. He was killed in action in Iraq in 2007, how my family came to TAPS. But what we do, as I said, the honor and remember component, we make sure our families, when we do events at TAPS, we have their fallen hero photo button. So at a national seminar, a good grief camp. And actually, we are partnering with the NFL for the first time to do a Salute to Service project here at Super Bowl Experience with the four other Salute to Service partners. And our project will be making photo buttons. So we'll have local TAPS families in the San Francisco area, and they're going to make photo buttons for other survivors who are attending our national event in May over Memorial Day weekend. And so it's really important, you know, it's not just, I think a lot of times people forget our military, they are their moms, their daughters, their husbands, their, you know, brothers. And so a lot of times you see a military as like a hero or, you know, a name on the wall. We try to also bring that personal aspect. So when we do our Salute to Service events, we write bios, right? So you might be like, oh, he liked, potato chips and he used to swim. And so sometimes we'll pair up with players were on our honor fallen heroes by wearing initials on helmets and meet the family. And so they can usually find, you know, I might not understand what you're going through military loss, but I would understand what it would be like if I lost my brother or I lost my dad. And so it's a really nice, meaningful way, to bring those families together. We talk a lot about TAPS. We don't ever move on but we do move forward.
Yeah.
Right. And how we give people that the skills to move forward along their grief journey, you know, and to honor their loved ones, and, you know, they're always with us. So yeah, I wear Mike at every event I go to. My sister will be here tomorrow doing the service project. She lives in the area. We just want to make sure, you know, you don't forget about someone you love.
Right. And you know, for the people who out there are listening, who have gone through this, or maybe not know about TAPS, you know, Diana, explain for the people at home how they can kind of get involved if this is something, because it's a nationwide thing, right?
It is a national thing.
It's and a national thing, yeah.
There are grieving military families in every community in America. That's just the facts. So whenever a new team will come on, do you have any families in, you know, fill in the blank city? And of course we do. Right, and we have meaningful stories. So if people want to get involved, anyone can get involved. This is America's family, the grieving families of America's fallen heroes. So you can go online, you can certainly donate. I mean, that would be a wonderful way to support the program. You can volunteer. If you're a military service member or veteran, you can mentor bereaved military children, go through our mentor program, which is incredible. We have thousands of mentors across America who engage our children and often find that the healing that the children are going through is as healing for them, right? They're able to then share with children who are often removed from the military community after the loved one dies. Mm-hmm. So it keeps that connection going. So our mentor program is extraordinary. It's actually one of the programs that the NFL supports,
yeah.
which is fantastic. So yes, visit us at taps.org. It's our website, or any of our social media platforms, and see all the goodness and the greatness.
Yeah, and I got to imagine just your own experiences, right, with this, and every time you interact with families that go through this program, right? I know you've got a couple families that are going to be at the game this coming Sunday, so that's exciting, right? Are you able to tell us who's?
We have two families.
Yeah.
Our first family is a local family here. It's a surviving brother. He lost his brother serving in the Navy. So it's going to be him and his daughter. They have done multiple salute to service events with the 49ers, big 49ers fans. And so the daughter, the surviving niece, never really got to know her uncle. And so when she gets to do these events with the 49ers and the NFL, it's like a present, you know, her uncle would have taken her, something they can do as a family, and they can talk about him and how much he loved the team. We also have an incredibly lovely family coming from Arizona. It was a donation by the Arizona Cardinals, and they surprised him. He's a surviving dad and did a salute to service event this year with the team. So we'll have our two families there, you know, honoring their loved ones, getting to be a part of this amazing experience. And, you know, when that flyover happens and that national anthem happens, you know, it's special, and they'll be able to have that memory for the rest of their lives, right? That we can't bring their loved one back, but to have that special experience, you know, to have that be that moment, you know, that is something they're going to remember, and it gives them something to talk about, right? To share about their son. That's not always a sad moment. It'll be like, oh my gosh, we were at the Super Bowl, and we were there with TAPS, and we were there honoring my son. And so, you know, I think for Diana and I, when she was creating the program, I don't know if she saw it going that far, but it's just that lovely, you know, moment when people tell us, oh, you know, to have that moment of joy, to have that meaning, and to be a part of, you know, those big celebrations.
Yeah.
It's really special.
Do you sit back and look at how this thing's grown, Diana, and just amazed at it? Or
it warms my heart, and it just a pinch me moment, you know, to think. So the idea, you know, TAPS was founded by Bonnie Carroll in 1994. She's extraordinary. And so when I came into TAPS at the end of 2012, she asked me to go to Afghanistan with her about 10 weeks later. And I went, and the idea for the sports program, I joke it was born on a sleepless night on base in Kabul, because
yeah.
I was just thinking something needed to be born from the experience of going to a war zone, and I wanted to do something powerful and impactful for this community. And I never felt more patriotic in my life. You know, you're on base with 1,200 allied forces, and you know, they're strategizing, and they're talking, or they're doing all of these things, and it's just so unbelievable. And so I was lying in my little bed on base, and I'm thinking, I need to build something. Something needs to be born from this. And I started thinking about sport and the universality of sport. So if you say to me April 2013 to now, you know, it's just I smile. And it's people like Jessica, who has been by my side in this for the last 11 years, right? And then, you know, the amazing people who work for us. But it's also people, you know, like the NFL and our sports partners. But it's also the families. They allow us to honor their loved one. You know, they walk into a place and space that was meaningful to their hero, and then they honor them. It's really, it's wonderful and it's heartwarming, but it's really emotional, right? And so those moments, so yes, all of the great work that we do is all dependent on, you know, the league saying yes, or the team saying yes, or the family saying yes. And it's up to us to just, you know, sort of bear witness to the magic that's made and just be grateful for it.
Well, it's wonderful to hear all the great, impactful things that you guys have done with this program. And, of course, the way people can get involved, whether I say donate and we're serving as a volunteer, there's all kinds of opportunities you can get involved. Even if you're not the one affected, people can be affected by you, right, in that sense. And so it's great to chat with you both about this program. And I wish you safe travels and endeavors on everything. I'm sorry, this is a sports show, so I do have to ask one sports question. Who's winning the Super Bowl on Sunday? I'm going to ask every guest we have on. Who do you got?
I defer to Jessica.
So professionally, we work with both the Patriots and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So we are hoping for a good high-scoring game with no injuries. Personally, I grew up in Maine and was a New England Patriot fan before I started this job. And so for my heart of hearts, I am a Pats fan, and so I am hoping they're going to pull out a win. But I would also be very, very proud if the Seahawks brought home that that trophy.
Absolutely, of course. And it's hopefully going to be a wonderful game on Sunday, and for the families to enjoy and for the folks to enjoy at home as well. It's going to be exciting. Well, I appreciate you both. You guys are running around. It's going to be exciting. And you tell me you're going to be at the NBA next week in terms of that too, so it's going to be great too.
All the sports all around
in terms of that.
Taps.org,
right? That's where you pay.
Taps.org,
easy enough. All right, well, I appreciate you both for joining me on the show today, and best of luck on the rest of everything.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, Diana Hosford and Jessica Harper with Taps here on 1430 ESPN. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more show right after this on the Central Valley Sports Leader. On the bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Diana Hosford and Jessica Harper for joining me in the last segment. Taps.org, where you can help families who are going through the tragedy, losing a loved one in military service. Tragedy Assistant Program for Survivors. Wonderful organization. Good to know they're doing wonderful things here with the National Football League. It's been a whirlwind of a show. We've already had two guests in, and we got another one coming along the way. At the top of the 4 o'clock hour here, Frank Delaney going to join me from Bring the Juice. That's right. You remember. You know who Bring the Juice is in terms of that. Let's talk a little lead up to it. We mentioned a little bit last night in terms of opening night festivities, and I'll tell you what, it was a very fascinating, very interesting evening. A lot of people, this is unfortunate because this is our first time we're here, at least me personally, we're here first time at the Super Bowl Radio Row. We're hearing a lot of talk about it may be the worst opening night we've ever seen in terms of the NFL media. There were some things that probably weren't so great about it, right? Well, okay. I watched the feedback where I watched like the show that they did, and I didn't realize how low those cameras were, because all of the media folks, that wasn't fans, by the way, the people that had all the phones up. Those are media folks getting in the way of the main camera there, and it had such a low shot when it came to that stage, and I got to imagine they were fighting trying to like get people around and looking at everything in terms of that. So what is an interesting night to start there in terms of it. And then on the flip side, I didn't even realize, and I hope people didn't pay a good pretty penny for it, because last night some people showed up, the fans, and you couldn't even stay for the whole session. They said fan session one and then fan session two. They were like, if you're part of fan session one, get out of here. We're on to fan session two, which was so strange to kind of like here in terms of that. I'm like, man, I am glad I didn't spend any money on that in terms of that. So I feel for the fans a little bit in terms of how that went down. So kind of crazy stuff there. And then just the venue itself, it was so strange. Of course, us media people are probably a little grouchy last night in terms of how we went down. We did get shuttled, but it was like about an hour and 40 minutes on the bus down to San Jose through primetime traffic. The bus was not conditioned in terms of the air last night. I remember the ride back being incredibly taxing in terms of how much we were dealing with there. Windows fogging up and everything. But then also, you know, we're just there on a bus cramped for a while, and then we get there and we're at this convention center, which just it just feels like the NFL just didn't find the right venue in enough time to lock it in. So it was a really felt like a hastily put event. But I do think we had some good commentary in terms of everything with last night's guest list. Of course, I said I put out the video last night in terms of it that you want to check out there with all the players that we had. One of the conversations around this has been Drake May's shoulder, and I'll tell you what, reports are saying that his shoulder seems to be much better, seems to be in a very good situation now, and I would imagine sounds like he's throwing well at practice, and he's feeling great. And according to some of the NFL news reporters that are around here on the great boots on the ground, is that the shoulder is not anything to worry about now. So whatever talk we have in terms of the Drake May shoulder situation, I think it's going to be put to bed. He seems ready to go, rearing to go for what should be a lot of fun. On Super Bowl Sunday, at least a lot of fun in terms of watching him play. I don't know if he's going to have fun going up against this Seattle defense in terms of it and the way it's going to go. So we're going to be interested to see how he'll react to it. He has had a week to rest in terms of it. He has had an ability to maybe reset here for the next, next few days and get away from it all before you play a game. On Sunday in the biggest stage. So it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts in terms of that. Trying to think of some interesting things we learned last night. I know Drake May got caught with talking about his wife's cooking last night. I saw Guillermo from Jimmy Kimmel last night, him wandering around. He is exactly who you think he is in terms of his personality and the character. So that was pretty funny last night. One of my favorite moments was I saw a service dog, like I think it was a drug sniffing dog or whatever it was. He was just conked out, side down, laying down, tired. And I'm like, I'm going to be right there with you, buddy, in about an hour when we get back to the hotel. So I was definitely feeling that in terms of it. So, yeah, last night was interesting. If you got a chance to watch some of the highlights or whatever, there are certainly some quote-unquote highlights in terms of it as well. Anyways, so we're booking guests. We keep booking guests here throughout the week, and I know I had some guests already put out on my social medias. Of course, we're going to be going up till 4:30 today, which means we got one more guest spot to get to, which will be Frank Delaney in this next hour. As we go up to 4:30. But after that, Wednesday, we're jam-packed, folks. I got six interviews set up for Wednesday in terms of it. Thursday, same deal. We got five interviews scheduled. We've got a couple more scheduled on Friday as well. We're looking into it as far as who we're going to get. I will say we added a new name to the guest list tomorrow. Ed McCaffrey is going to join me tomorrow at 10 a.m. We're going to record with him. You'll see that interview for us. You heard the right name. Ed McCaffrey, which is the father of Christian. And what's the other guy's name? What's his brother's name? I am losing. Is it Luke McCaffrey? Is that who it is who's on the Commanders? I think that's the other one. We know about Christian for sure, if you're a Niner fan in terms of that. Other than that, We'll have some other guys as well, flyover pilots from Fresno and Lemoore. We got 49er Hall of Famer Bryant Young. Alan Rothenberg, founder of MLS, is going to join us as well. We got a lot of different guest lists. 49er beat reporter Tracy Sandler is going to join us as well. So much coming at you here on Radio Row for the next few days. And once again, we just want to give a shout-out to all of our sponsors who are allowing us to be here on Radio Row. Just running down the list one more time. Chachansey Gold Resort and Casino, FFB Bank, Fashion Furniture, Helena Agri, Horn Barbecue. Trying to think of the others we had. Of course, see if we can pull up the list here as well. But outside of it, I think the Sanduker was on the list as well. And, we mentioned it as well. Helena Agri, there we go. Yeah, we got them all in terms of it. Oh, Central Valley Sports, Stitch and Inc. as well. So shout out to all of them. All right, so coming up next, we got about 30 minutes before we say goodbye for the day, before we got to head out and head on to some more content making. Of course, you want to follow our journey along ESPN Fresno socials as well. We already put out some cool stuff as well, so be sure to take it out there as well. Coming up next, we got an interview with Bring the Juice, Frank Delena, and get you set for the Pro Bowl next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Top of the next hour here, about a 30-minute portion of our show left before we say goodbye and send it to the Pro Bowl games here on 1430 ESPN. We got all kinds of craziness happening around here. I got an entourage. I got Rampage Jackson behind me. He's just yelling. It's exciting stuff. I don't know. I'm wondering if the people on the video side of things can see what's happening behind me. We'll see. Anyways, follow our social media as ESPN Fresno for all our content as well and all of the stuff that we're bringing you as well. All right, let's get right next to our next guest. We talked to Bring the Juice's Frank Delena. Hey, Fresno's in town here. It's not just us. We had to get a familiar face on. So first time we've had him on the show, but excited to talk about all things Super Bowl here as well. So without further ado, here's Frank Delena from Bring the Juice. We're joined by a nice familiar face here in what is the media circus, a Fresno familiar face with Frank Delena here from Bring the Juice. It's a pleasure to have you on here on our ESPN program. First time on the Behind the Bench. Good to have you here.
Yeah.
How are we doing, man?
I'm good. The craziness of Radio Row is starting to pick up steam. San Francisco, you forget how spread apart it is. I like Fresno, where if you got to go 5 miles, you get there in 5 minutes, whereas in San Francisco, it's probably going to be closer to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But the momentum's building here. I think it's a fun Super Bowl matchup. It's two teams that haven't been around in this stage and setting for a period of time now,
right,
to where you could feel the vibes. And as you know, Phil, we're just trying to capitalize on all opportunities walking by, and happy to be here repping the we got some great 559 representation
exactly
out here. People are turning heads. Oh, yeah, I know where Fresno's at. So it's a nice little town.
Yeah.
It's a nice little part of this California.
I'd like to argue we're the biggest contingent of location here. Everybody's else spread out. You got
Ireland behind you. I saw Germany.
But we got like three booths represented here all throughout.
We're like 5%.
Exactly. We know what's up. Fresno shows up, man. It's great. But it's good to have you here. And I know you're excited about the week ahead. And, man, it's only Tuesday, so we're trying to pace ourselves for it. But you mentioned the matchup, and you mentioned the excitement around it. And, of course, two teams that nobody expected to come in. What was your – did you have a Super Bowl prediction before the year? coming in?
On a Bring the Juice episode after the last preseason game, we went around the horn and said, like, all right, everyone pick a horse.
Yeah.
And my horse was the Los Angeles Rams.
I was there too.
People said I was a doubter. I got a lot of doubts from that. But I just see there's such volume to have a veteran presence at quarterback.
Yeah.
And Matt Stafford, I think he's disrespected in the, you know, top 10 quarterbacks of all time conversation.
Right.
The guy's a dog. He just had a lot of losing seasons with the Lions. So people who don't know ball, I think they don't see that.
Right.
But then you got Devontae, who's exactly. a dog, who also has Puka.
Yeah.
And they got like 9 tight ends, and their defense picks up steam. And they're, you know, one of my running backs, Ronnie Rivers, is there, who's a great back. And he's not even getting the touches he deserves because
he's great on special teams.
He's great on special
teams. Great on special teams.
He's fine in his role. But I just felt like that veteran presence at quarterback was going to be the deciding factor. And I feel like if they got to the Super Bowl, they would get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads me to say, I think because Seattle handled it, and they handled a gauntlet, if you really look at it.
Right.
They handled a gauntlet. I think they're going to get it done. But that was my horse. You had the Rams as well?
I had the Rams. I don't want to say the AFC team I had. They did not play. I had the Ravens.
You know what, though? It was one of those years in the AFC where do you think the Buffalo Bills thought the Patriots were going to be in there?
No chance nobody had them here. Even me. I'm a Patriots fan. Born or raised. And I had no idea they were coming.
I mean, there's – you know, you could go on and say, okay, if Joe Burrow was healthy, the Bengals will always be dangerous.
Right.
Right? Josh Allen's Josh Allen. He's a dog. He's going to help you win football games. The problem with the Bills, though, I thought, you forced Josh to have to be Superman, and you just can't be Superman. What would it be, 21 weeks in the NFL to make it to the Super Bowl? You just can't do it.
Yeah.
The Texans surprised me.
Yeah.
Texans' defense is one of the most – violent defenses I've seen in a long time, but Seattle kind of has a little bit of that in them.
That mean streak, yeah.
And I don't know. It's two exciting teams, though. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. There is a little bit of nostalgia, I think, where these teams have a history on a pivotal play at the end of the game.
Do you remember back, 11 years ago, where you were watching that Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like what the emotions were? Because everyone considers it one of the best games ever.
I think
it
is.
One of the best Super Bowls ever.
And, you know, you kind of – your perspective on the game and my position has changed as my life's gone on where, you know, when you're in middle school, you just love football.
Yeah.
Right? And you know Tom Brady's good and you see him every year. And then as you start playing tackle football and – getting recruited, and then you can start playing football at Fresno State, and you see guys who you played with or against in the league, you're really watching film more than anything. But I remember that game very, very vividly because sometimes, you know, my folks always throw a big old Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
My mom's got the Frito boats. We got the drinks flowing, a lot of good appetizers, the little hot dogs and such. And I've always – you know, watch the ball game at their house, and we do the squares. Pick the final score. And that was just a good one because sometimes these games don't come down to the end.
Right.
And that one did, and it was a unique circumstance where you have Marshawn Lynch, who is one of the best backs in that era, for sure.
Yeah.
And you got to say, he's going to punch it in. He's going to punch
it
in for sure, right?
What are we doing?
And they're on their throat. They're driving, and it's just like – I don't know how old I was at that time. I was probably 15, and they did it.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if you knew ball or you didn't know ball or you were just watching the game because that's the one game you watch a year and you like the Frito boats.
Yeah.
You knew, holy cow, man.
Right.
Something just happened.
Anybody can be a hero. Anybody can make that play, right? And that's the crazy part about it. And I just remember I'm a Patriots fan, like I said. I'm in a party with a bunch of Niner fans rooting against the Seahawks. It was the only time I never felt alone rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, for sure.
When the Seahawks threw that pick. It was amazing. But I don't know if I'm – I don't know. I'm getting discourse from Niner fans who listen. Our people, my friends who are Niner fans, some of them still think they kind of want to back Seattle just because they hate the Patriots so much, winning all this stuff. I'm like, how can you root for the Seahawks? If you want to see him win in your own building, like that's got to like, that's got to be the end all be all. You got to be back in the Patriots no matter what. If you're a Niner fan, so I feel like Niner fans are a little lost on what they want to do with this Super Bowl, especially our Niner listeners.
You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I compare it to, let's say Boise State was in the playoff a couple years ago in college football playoff, right?
Yeah.
And we're Fresno State guys. I think we could all agree on that,
right?
Do I want to see Boise State win because it's good for the conference? Right. It makes the conference look stronger? Or do I just dislike Boise so much where I want them to get their butt handed to them?
Yeah.
And the correct answer to that question is I don't want to see Boise win. No. I don't want to see them win. I don't care if it's good for the Mountain West. The hell with the Mountain West.
Right? You're like, winning the L.A. Bowl this year is inconsequential to our feelings.
Who
about
cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't judge. It's not going to make me feel any better, put it that way. Not at all.
Yeah.
I think everyone's going to have a different take on if you're a Niners fan, I don't think you're rooting for Seattle here. I just love ball. I want this to be a good game.
Yeah.
I'm an offensive guy. I want fireworks. I want pick sixes. I want punt returns for touchdowns.
Right.
I want chaos. That's what I like.
We love chaos. We love chaos in terms of – hey, just tell me a little – you know – bring the juice. You've built this brand for years now. You've been doing the thing, right? Just tell me a little bit about just what the journey's been like a little bit, like where it started, where you are now, and kind of just kind of following the passion of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Representing the Valley.
I had a really awesome experience playing football at Fresno State. It was something where I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to go play soccer at Cal Poly at one point. I thought I was going to go walk on at Montana State, UC Davis, and then I kind of decided if it wasn't D1, like D1, I wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
I always wanted to play ball at Fresno State. Obviously, being a Valley kid, that's your goal when you grow up there. You want to win a Valley championship. You want to play football at Fresno State. That was the thing. And got the opportunity to do that kind of at the 11th hour, got a preferred walk-on spot, and I squeezed every ounce of opportunity I could out of it. You know, you earn your stripes, you get a scholarship, you get a little PT, you learn about special teams, and that means you're making the bus and all that. It's something I was numb to, and I always talk about it on the show about every guy who goes D1, they were the MVP of their team.
Yeah.
They were first team all conference. Like, you can't just accidentally go D1. So that was a good thing for me. And then by the time I was a senior, I knew in my life, you know, growing up on paper, you're in fourth grade writing, what do you want to do with your life? I want to play football at Fresno State, and I want to farm onions at my family's onion farm that I grew up on. We're a very tight-knit family, and it's something I always thought I would do. I went to college, was ag business. I wanted to bring back value to the family business, being the oldest son. But when you're 21, 22 years old, and you're, 5% body fat, the fastest you've ever been, strongest you've ever been, is that just it? I knew I wasn't going to the league, and I was a realist about that, which I'm glad I was because some guys aren't, and it's a hard journey for them.
Yeah.
And, I took a class at Fresno State called The History of the Olympic Games.
I did that class too.
Yeah, it was an easy A.
It was nice.
But it was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
There's so much history there. And the teacher kind of gave me the nudge of saying, hey, I tell all my football players in my classes you should try out for the Team USA bobsled team. The whole team's made up of ex-college football players.
Really?
So I run into him again kind of right before graduation, morning of doghouse, and puts me in touch. I ended up doing a tryout. Things went well. Long story short, I get converted from bobsled to skeleton, and I had to learn how to become a skeleton athlete. And there's not really – the funny thing about it, it's not like football where you go from Pop Warner to JV to varsity, and then you play college and you go to the NFL. You're just straight up starting to compete against Olympic athletes.
Yeah.
You're thrown into the fire. And I was getting my brakes beat off, to say the least. A lot of pain, a lot of frustration. There were guys that I was more athletic than but wasn't having as much success because they'd been doing it for 10 years.
Right.
Right? And learned a lot about myself. It was awesome. And ended up in an Olympic trial messing up my calf, which led to me finding out I had blood clots in my leg.
Wow.
And that was weird, being, 23 at the time,
right,
healthy as I was. And at that point, I kind of got a call from my dad and my grandfather just saying, like, hey, the business has gotten to the point where we need another guy.
Yeah.
And you've accomplished a lot. Will you come home and be part of back of the family business? And I think that was just God's way of giving me a sign. You know, I very well could have been done playing sports at San Joaquin Memorial, and I got to do all these cool things and race for Team USA and make so many connections and see different parts of the world.
Yeah.
Anyways, fast forward, I'm in an onion field.
There you go.
Life comes at you fast. You go from, you know, playing football at Fresno State in some good years and some bad years.
Yeah.
Trying to go to the Olympics. You're calling your dad after practice. Yeah, you know, I lost to Italy. I beat Japan. I lost to Ghana. I beat just a guy from Israel.
Wild call there.
And it, oh, okay. It's not like, oh, yeah, how's the corners look for San Jose State? It's a total different vibe. Anyways, I just was like, there's got to be more. And I Googled at this point, being 24 years old, I want to make some more money, ways to make money. The first thing that popped up was write a book, sell 10 million copies for $10 a piece. You'll make a lot of money off it. Okay,
certainly.
Well, I'm not that interesting. the second bullet point was start a podcast. And I just felt at my point in that, you know, in that era of life, I had so many friends that were billboard guys at Fresno State who didn't make it in the league, and now they're sleeping on their girlfriends' couches.
Yeah.
They're playing video games. They're not doing anything. And I think there's a pendulum where either you take the foundation of the different variables you learned in your experience playing D1 ball that you could either apply to life and use it as an advantage, or you kind of just sit on your butt and don't get anything done. And right. I wanted to talk to other athletes about chasing greatness and using those principles to elevate yourself. But I wanted to keep it raw. I wanted to keep it very athlete friendly, to where when they came on the show or on the platform, they had a good taste in the mouth when they were gone. And, you know, I was kind of a rah-rah guy in college.
Yeah.
Still am to this day. I was a spark plug type guy. And, bring the juice is one of our sayings, and as the older guys ahead of me graduated, I kept it. You could ask anybody I played with, but I just thought that was the right name, and it's evolved to where it started off with the natural connections I had, which was a huge advantage to start with.
Yeah.
We created some merchandise that has done well, and really just made it now to where you just keep a good thing going. And you want to think about what's next and how you could elevate. And, you know, someone's always on your heels at this point in this game. And just like anything, we're like trees. We're either living or we're dying.
Yeah.
So.
Real quick, because we're running up on the clock here.
Yep.
Just prognosis on the Dogs right now and where it is with Coach Entz right now. Just a little thoughts on the program.
Yeah, I think you should go win the Pac. Go win the Pac. I mean, to keep it short and sweet, go win the Pac.
They're trying to, the top teams are trying to poach our players. That's got to say something about the talent, right?
I think that's the game we live in now. People are always going to try to poach. People are always going to try to maybe get somebody at a discount because we don't have the deepest pockets in the whole landscape of college football.
Yeah.
Which I know people are working hard at getting improvements in that specific category. But at the end of the day, go win the Pac. Look at the Pac. Okay, you're playing Oregon State, you're playing Washington State. Those are teams Fresno State can beat year in and year out. They can. Then you're playing pretty much the Mountain West again. It's just got a better logo attached to
it. Teams
your
name. You beat all the
and
time.
I think really this year, not throwing shade at anybody who was in the quarterback position this last season, but it's really hard to go through an off season, whether that's winter ball, spring ball, summer ball, fall camp, and not know who your leader is.
Right.
Because in football, you need to have your quarterback be a leader. Whether he's going to be a first-team all-conference guy or not, you need to follow that guy into war, and that needs to be undisputed. So if they can establish a quarterback, you know, go by fall camp, I think that's going to be huge for morale. And their defense was lights out this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Mimic that. There's a couple games that, you know, they – fell in their favor because other teams had – I mean, that Oregon State game, if they would have had a long snapper, who knows what would have happened.
We'd be talking about a different story.
But I think there's a lot of potential there. I wish the Dogs the best. I always want to be a vessel, an avenue to help them succeed in any way, shape, or form it could possibly be. But I say go win the Pac. Why not us?
Why not us, right? Why not us? And look at us here. We're here at Super Bowl Radio Row. And, Frank, of course, you got your stuff over there. And where can people follow you?
Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube. We're really trying to grow the YouTube page right now. Go subscribe.
Oh, we know that grind.
It is a grind and a half. Buy some merch. And, you know, we have a golf tournament coming up March 6th and 7th.
That's
it's going to be awesome. It's for our nonprofit. We're probably going to have about 60 to 70 NFL players. Got some good names. It's a free event. You know, iron sharpens iron.
All right. I got to let you go because I know we're running around.
We got the man. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Frank Delaney here on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. That's it for our show. Yeah, that's right. We got to sign off and say goodbye as we head on to the Pro Bowl games coming up in just a little bit. Just a reminder, of course, we're going to be on tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. Interviews galore. You want to be here for it. Here's the rundown. Ed McCaffrey going to join us. Tracy Sandler, 49ers beat reporter, going to join us. The pilots of the flyover for the Super Bowl going to join us. Aaron Coscarelli from Believe in Rams podcast going to join us. Bryant Young, 49er Hall of Famer, going to join us. Alan Rothenberg going to join us, founder of MLS, all tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. Should be a fun afternoon. We'll see you then. Until then, coming up next, the Pro Bowl games live from right here in San Francisco. We'll see you at 3 o'clock tomorrow for another edition of Behind the Bench.